So this week I had discussed with a few guys, with Beto, Avi, a few guys with my Shear. We went somewhere and it was one of the most awe-inspiring experiences. It's not the first time I've been, but every time it tends to have that effect. Ezra Nehemiah found us over there. That's a good point. But since a lot of the guys weren't there, so I don't feel like it's a waste of your time. So to at least mention, to dabble in a couple of those in Yanin. But I'll speak about it in context of the week, and it's extremely relevant. So also there is something that was on my mind this week a lot, which was on a lot of people's mind a lot. But I do believe, and I think we should start believing more and talking more and thinking more, that some of these things that are present in our world are purposeful. They're really purposeful, and I'm not belittling the physical purpose. There's always a physical, this worldly purpose. But a concept, I'm not making a joke right now, it's not like something I'm interested in trying to make comical, but a concept like MAGA. MAGA is a concept that's been in our world for a little bit, and you know, this week MAGA had a big win, and there's something there. It shouldn't just be understood as, and I'm not belittling the physical, you know, victory that they had in this world, but there's something there. The Yesh Mashehu, there's something there, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has ways to send messages into our lives, into our existence, into our generation. And this is clearly, b'li safek, a clear message. So I want to talk about those things, and I'll be specific in a couple minutes. It says a strange bracha, interesting bracha, after Hashem tells Avram to lech lecha. He tells him, v'eschol adoy gadol, I'll make you a big nation. Big nation, maybe to compensate that the likelihood is that he would be minimized if he goes out into what seems to be a gullus type adventure. So I'll make you a big nation. Va'avarechecha, I'll give you bracha. Va'gadlo shemecha, and I'm gonna make you well known. Beautiful brachas. And then the bracha ends with two words. Veheye bracha. Veheye is a little hard to exactly define. Veheye bracha means, and there will be bracha. Veheye bracha means, and you will be bracha. So I'm gonna give you a lot of wonderful things. You'll have a big nation, you'll be blessed. Everybody will know you. Veheye bracha. What is this veheye bracha? That's all I want to talk about. What is this veheye bracha? You will be bracha. There will be bracha. So the next pasuk says, va'avarcha mevarechecha. Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you, mekalel cha'or. Those who curse you will be cursed. Is Hashem just, it's like a textual, I'm just making a textual point. I'm not turning this into a textual schmooze, but a textual point is the next pasuk a definition of those words, veheye bracha, that the ones who give you bracha will get, and the ones who give you curse will get. That's what it means, veheye bracha. It doesn't seem that way. So Rashi has two pshat, and Rashi says, one pshat of veheye bracha, habrachos nesunos biadech. From now on, Hashem says, I used to have the reins on bracha. I used to control bracha in that world, in the world as we know. And from now on, I'm giving the reins over to you, not to mankind, but to a part of mankind, to Avraham Avinu. You now have the reins on bracha. Very, very intriguing concept. It's on both ends. Why is Hashem relinquishing the reins, relinquishing control on bracha, and why is he giving it over to Avraham? What did Avram do to deserve it? Why is bracha necessarily the thing that should be handed over to Avram? It's a nice thing, but I could think of many nice things. Davar Acher, and then Rashi says a second shot, and this second shot I never understood. I really never understood. I don't know if anybody understands the second shot. Maybe tonight a little bit, I hope a little bit, I think I understand it a little better. I think I understand it tonight, that's the truth. I do think I understand it, but my whole life I never understood this. The second shot is just like a strange, like learning Kabbalah right now. Ve'esta l'goy dodo means that we say Elokei Avram. Ba'avarechecha means we say Elokei Yitzchak. Ba'agad l'shemecha means we say Elokei Yaakov. And maybe you'll think that at the end of the bracha, we're talking about the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, maybe you'll think at the end of the bracha we end with all those heavy hitters, with all three avos. No. Ve'hiye bracha. Those two words, what do those two words teach us? Ve'hiye bracha means, we end the bracha of Magen Avram with Magen Avram, and not Magen Yitzchak, and not Magen Yaakov. It's like we just learned Kabbalah just now. We have no idea what that means. The pasuk that Hashem gives Avram something when he fulfills the commandment of Lech Lecha, I'm going to make you the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. What is that? Shmona Esrei was put together by Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Tefillah Bechefza is Machlokes, it could be Derabbanan. You'll be the first bracha of the prayer that the Jews say forever to me. I don't even know if that sounds nice. I don't even know what exactly that prize is. What is that prize? And the Medrash just elaborates a little bit more. Amar Rabbi Yudin, Koveh Ani Lecha Bracha B'Shmona Esrei, just very clear. I'm going to give you a bracha in Shmona Esrei, if you didn't pick up on it. Aval Ein Ata Yodea Im Shaliko Demis Im Shalchako Demis. But you're still left guessing if my bracha of Shmona Esrei will precede your bracha of Shmona Esrei or the opposite. Amar Rav Chavya B'Shem Rabbi Ze'era, Shalcha kodemis l'shali. But this is your prize. Your prize, he says to Avram, is that your bracha will precede my bracha. Where do you see it? B'shashu omer magen Avram, achrakach, he says, Machaya Mason. Machaya Mason is a praise of God. And it's preceded by Avram's bracha, magen Avram. This is Kabbalah. Kabbalah is great. This is not for us. This is Kabbalah. This is absolute Kabbalah. Kabbalah, what I mean is that somebody understands what this means. And this is also Rashi. I've never spoken about this Rashi before, because I find this to be, for sure, for 18, 19 bucks. It's a very boring Rashi. Extremely boring Rashi. You don't know what to do with this Rashi. What's he telling me? What's the Kavana here? It's a very boring Rashi. Until you really think about it. Until you start to think about it. So the first thing I'm wondering, and then I'll get to the point, is that what does it mean that's Avram's bracha? That's not Avram's bracha. That's also Hashem's bracha. Magen Avram means you're the protector of Abraham. That's talking about God. That's not different than Machai HaMesim. Machai HaMesim is you revive the dead. And Magen Avram means you protected Avram. You're Kel Elyon, you're Kone Shemayim Ba'aretz, you're Gadol V'Gibor. It's talking about the praises of God. In that first bracha, somebody says a praise of Avram. There's no praise of Avram in that bracha. The God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, Magen Avram, the protector of Avram. Why is it called Avram's bracha? That's a description of God. And there's halacha. If you don't know this halacha, and your OCD, close your ears for a second. This is not for OCD people, this halacha. But there's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which the Ramah tells you not to follow. And the halacha goes like this. It's a Gemara, but we pass him like this halacha, like every Gemara. I'm a spal tzar shiachavin b'chal brachas. We dam shmon esrei. You're supposed to have kavon in shmon esrei. Nice idea. Very nice idea. Nice suggestion. V'imeno yalko l'chavin b'chulam. If a person knows ahead of time, for some reason, is distracted, he can't have kavon in all 19 brachas. L'fachos yachavin b'avos. At least have kavon in one of the brachas. Which one? The first one. Avos. Magen Avram. Okay, that's nice. It's important. Okay, an important bracha. No, much bigger than important. V'im lo kivin ba'avos, and if you don't have kavan in the first bracha in Shmona Esrei, afal pi shechivin b'kol shai, even though you have kavan in all the other 18 brachas that follow, yachzor v'yisfalom, you're not yotze davening. If you have OCD, this halacha is not for you. You'll be standing Shmona Esrei till. You're never going to get out of Shmona Esrei. That's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, relax. The Ramah over here says, relax. That's what he says. He says, relax. You can take a look at the Ramah. Kof Aleph Aleph. The Ramah says, calm down. Calm down. And he's telling you, this is a hard halacha to follow. And we don't take this halacha practically because it's almost impossible to fulfill. But that's the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin is, if I were to ask you what's the important brachas of Shmona Esrei, we all would have said Rof Echolim, we all would have said Baruch Aleinu, we all would have said, I don't know if you're, you think about the end of days, you would have said Yerushalayim, Esemach David, Modim is a good one, Modim is a nice one. In today's time, Sim Shalom is pretty solid. Magen Avram? Magen Avram is the most boring bracha. Who pays attention to Magen Avram? Who's interested in Magen Avram? You didn't even know what you're talking about when you say that bracha. Okay, Avram, okay, it's okay, Yaakov. Well, you didn't know what you're saying until you start with Atachon and Das. Otachon, you start paying attention. These things, you start paying attention. This is such a boring bracha. Nobody's paying attention during that bracha. So there's a misconception about Avraham Avinu. People believe Avraham Avinu discovered monotheism. He discovered God. This is obviously a major mistake. We spoke about this in the shiur I gave before this. Noach was Avram's granddaddy. Noach lived during Avram's lifetime. They overlapped for about 50 years. Noach was he wasn't the son to get his bris, but Keilu, if Avram would have had a bris when he was little, Noach would have been the son to get his bris. Noach was at his bar mitzvah, Noach walking down the aisle. Noach was the Saba Rabba of every human being who lived on the planet at that time. Noach had a very face-to-face experience. He was a Navi. Shem had a yeshiva at that time, in Avram's time. We talk about Avram discovered Judaism. There's a misconception here. What he discovered is a long conversation, not for now. But monotheism was alive and well. So you look at the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and Tosos and Brachos talks about this also. Tosos and Brachos is talking about that the Brachos of Shemoneh Esrei are very strange, because all Brachos, you have to say, Brachot Hashem Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. Without Melech HaOlam, it's not a Bracha. There's no Bracha without Melech HaOlam. A Bracha, by definition, has to have a Melech HaOlam. So Tosos apologizes in Brachos. He says there is a Melech HaOlam in Shemoneh Esrei, even though it doesn't look like there's any Melech HaOlam over there. You never say Melech HaOlam in Shemoneh Esrei. He says there is a Melech HaOlam. Tosos and Brachos says Elokei Avram is like Melech HaOlam. Why? The Avram Avinu Himlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol HaOlam. Avram Avinu didn't discover God. God was alive and well. Noach knew God. Shem knew God. Aver knew God. A lot of people who were talking about God back then. Avram Avinu's godless. He was Himlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol HaOlam. He coronated God. He coronated God over the entire universe. It's still not interesting. I don't find this shmooze interesting. I don't find this topic interesting. Because when we talk about God in our lives, in our religious lives, we talk about, and we spoke about this on Friday night, the guys who were with me, we spoke about Kirvas Elokim. We speak about connecting to Hashem and being close to Hashem. Kirvas Elokim. And we talk about Kirvas Elokim and connecting to God. I think most people, if you're a real thinking person, if you're an honest person, you realize at some point, you have to realize that that is very undefined. Kirvas Elokim is extremely undefined and vague. How you set about attaining it, how you gauge if you have it or not, if you have more, if you have less, extremely hard to define. But everybody wants it. Everybody wants Kirvas Elokim. And if you don't want it, it just means anybody who doesn't think they want Kirvas Elokim, a connection, a close relationship to Hashem, it just means that you've tried so many times and failed that you just gave up. And you stop thinking about it because it's just something that you don't think you could attain because you've aspired to it for a long time and you haven't hit the jackpot yet, so you just give up. But to say somebody doesn't have at the forefront of their mind, if they're being honest and true to themselves, that they don't have Kirvas Elokim at the forefront of your minds, who doesn't have Kirvas Elokim at the forefront of your minds? You get distracted. You get distracted by phones, by Gemaras, by many things. Many things. They distract you from your ultimate agenda of Kirvas Elokim. Things that bring you to it. Gemara brings you to Kirvas Elokim. But for some odd reason, for some people, it's a distraction from Kirvas Elokim. Because it's hard to gauge what it is. And when we were Friday night, me and some of the guys, we went to Nissen Black's house. And Nissen Black, he also sings. Nice thing he sings. Very nice. He's a wonderful artist. That's not who he is. Nissen Black is from the holiest people I've ever met in my life. One of the holiest people I've ever met. Gerd Tzedek, obviously. But really a very holy, deep, sophisticated person. And he said to us a line. I'm not quoting verbatim, but to my memory, this was the line that he said to us. He said, by him, Kirvas Elokim, getting close to Hashem, he decided this when he was a teenager, when he was young, before he converted, before he found Yiddishkeit, before he heard about Yiddishkeit, before he was interested in Yiddishkeit. As a teenager, growing up, he said to himself, I knew I wanted Kirvas Elokim so badly. It's not verbatim, but this is what I remember. Whatever he saw that added more Kirvas Elokim to his life, he would cling to. And whatever he saw or experienced that diminished Kirvas Elokim in his life, he would run away from. He would expel from his life. It was amazing to hear a person talk like this. And what I found amazing, and a couple guys in the room now who are there with me also, I think they could vouch for this, I think everybody will confirm, that being around Nissen Black when he was talking about that stuff, and being around him Bechlam, I could say for myself, I'll speak for myself, and you could ask, get testimony from the other people who were there, I felt Kirbis Elohim. Kirbis Elohim is not all day, every day. Most people don't have that all day, every day. We love it, we yearn for it, we seek it out, we dream about it. But it's not all day, every day for most people. But I could testify for me that I sat by Nissen Black at his you know, Friday night by his house, and I felt a very, very deep level of Kirbis Elohim. And I wasn't doing anything different. I was trying to figure out what's different now, Manishtana now from 5 minutes ago before I was sitting over here. And then Echad, what was different? Echad very clearly what was different. I was next to Nissen Black. That was the only thing that changed. I sat next to a person. I sat next to a person who had a profound impact on me, even without talking. Even without talking, even without listening, even without hearing what he had to say, just sitting. Just sitting next to such a person. Because the Medrash continues, Avram would daven for people who couldn't have children, and they would have children. Okay. I've heard such stories before. You go to a tzaddik, he davens, and his davening is heard upstairs, and Hashem listens to the tefillahs of tzaddikim. I've heard that before. The Medrash continues. He would pray for sick people, they would get healthy. I heard that story before. Rav Huna Omar, Rav Huna says, Avram would go next to the sick person, and the chola, the sick person, would be healed. He wouldn't even daven. Avram would stand next to a sick person, walk by, and the sick person would be healed. Okay, maybe that's what I experienced next to Nissen Black. Something about being around certain people. You're uplifted, your life changes, your world changes. Your existence is a different existence. So you're sick a minute ago, I felt like that. 5 minutes before I walked into his house, I also felt sick. I felt sick. Distance from the Rabbonu Shalom is a little sick. I felt a little empty. I walked into his house, oh, I felt good. I felt great. Like something changed, just being next to him. And the Medrash continues. Amar Rabbi Chanina, if there were ships at sea, in dangerous circumstances, they would be saved from the schus of Avram Avinu. But this is different. They weren't next to Avram. They didn't see him. They weren't thinking about him. The schus of Avram Avinu, the presence of Avram Avinu on the planet, would save ships at sea. How does that work? How does that come to be? There's a lot I want to say, but time is short, and I want to just get to the point. In our society, we are taught a lot of sick things, terrible things, sick things. We're taught that there's maybe a philosophical or a theological accomplishment to discover God. There might be some truth to that, but it's not emes. There's some truth to it, but it's not emes. We're taught that it's a religious accomplishment to fulfill the will of God. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. But it's not the entire emes. A lot of truth to it, but it's not the entire emes. There's a lot more. There's a lot more, and sometimes the most important piece of the puzzle is overlooked. That Avram showed us and taught us that we have a job on a global scale, and that job only can come to manifest if you apply that job on a personal scale. And that's why I really don't like when people start talking and thinking, guys in yeshiva, adults, kids, start talking and thinking about getting to davening on time. Those types of expressions really, really cause me a lot of pain. Cause me a lot of pain about conversations about getting to davening on time. People talk about and think about streaks of shacharis attendance. Go to chakras. I haven't missed the chakras in 2 weeks, in a month. You're talking about shells. I don't even know if those are shells. You're missing. I said you missed the most important piece of the puzzle. I think you missed the whole puzzle. We focus on on the outside, on the far outside, on the boundaries of the puzzle, the gates of the puzzle. We miss the whole puzzle. And Hashem tells you, I'll make you very popular. The whole world will know your name. You can have all the Gashmiyas blessings you could ever dream of. I'll give you a lot of kids. But let's talk. You want to talk serious? You want to talk serious? There's one thing if you want to talk serious. V'hiyeh bracha. V'hiyeh bracha. Your life won't be a shell. V'hiyeh bracha means that all the Rifa'enus and all the Atachon and Da'ases, all the Baruch Aleinus, all the Shmakolenus, all the Shmakolenus, all the Shmakolenus have nowhere to land if there's no V'hiyeh bracha. Without Elokei Avram, without Mogen Avram, without understanding what Avram was, what he did, what he accomplished, V'hiyeh bracha, no other bracha can land. He was a walking, breathing, live manifest of bracha. To the point that Hashem could say about him, I don't need the reins anymore. The reins were taken from me. The brachas were all on the planet brought down by this guy, this fellow named Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had this major capability, this major otherworldly capability to bring all bracha into the world, because he wanted so badly Kirvus Elokim that he filled himself up with so much Kirvus Elokim that the Rabbeinu Shalom flowed from then on out of Avram. Rabbeinu Bechaya has a lashon, he says, Umimenu tispashet habracha bechol haolam. After Avram Avinu, the bracha no longer comes from above, the bracha comes from the guy, from Avram. Today, to the point of today, I forget, it's a Medrash or a Zohar, it says either in the Medrash or a Zohar, that all the brachas flow from Chevron. It's not a Chayisara propaganda. But all the brachas flow from Maris and Achpelah. Because all the brachas were given to Avram because he brought bracha to the world. This week you're talking about these silly phrases, you're wearing hats and all kind of paraphernalia and MAGA this and MAGA that. Avram Avinu started MAGA. If you chop what MAGA is. If you really chop what MAGA is. The world was a wasteland. The world had nothing. And he said to himself, I want to bring bracha to the world. You know, they talk now in politics, I don't care about politics. They talk now in politics, they want to bring security and prosperity to the world. They want to help the economy and stop immigration. You think a Basar V'dam has the koach to do this? He's going to try. He's going to have his policy. He'll have his policy. He'll have his ideas and his administration. You really believe a Basar V'dam, a human being, has the capability to save the world, to save all the immigration issues and the economy issues and the foreign policy issues? You really believe a Basar V'dam has the ability to do this? So do I. So do I. And I know who it's not. It's definitely not Trump. I voted for him. Bless his soul. He should be Will, all the Misha Beiras. But it's definitely not him. Absolutely not him. If you believe in MAGA, what does MAGA mean? That you want to bring bracha and shefa to the world. It doesn't happen in Washington. There's no bracha going through Washington. Not through the Oval Office and not through Congress. Not the House and not the Senate. You could count all, everything was painted red over there. And still no bracha. Still no bracha. Until one guy, a descendant of Avram Avinu, decides that he wants to bring bracha into the world. That he wants to manifest v'heyeh bracha. He wants to be a vehicle through which Hashem's going to send the bracha to the world. And he steps up to the plate, and when he says those words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Avram. Elokei Avram. I'm one of those people. Elokei Avram. To follow in those footsteps of Elokei Avram. Elokei Avram means that me in my corner, I'm going to bring so much bracha to the world. You want to talk about foreign policy? You're going to solve that crisis. You want to talk about wars? You're going to solve that crisis. You want to talk about economy? You're going to solve that crisis. That's how you MAGA. If you want a MAGA, you got to bring bracha. And over here it says, Beremiza, the part that everybody overlooks, the part that everybody finds very boring in this parsha. And it's the key to everything we've been talking about the whole week. You want to bring the Rabbono Shalom into the world? The Sfarno has an amazing lashon. The Sfarno writes, you bring Hashem into your world. You perfect yourself by bringing Hashem into your world. Bringing Hashem into your world, we learned a little bit Friday night. Avi told me that it made a big impression on him. It made a major impression on me. Bringing Hashem into the world is all day. It's not shacharis. It's not mincha. It's not, I'm going to make a commitment to come on time. Making a commitment to come on time, what are you chasing? Why are we talking about these things? What are you chasing when you're discussing streaks of coming to shacharis? What are you chasing? What are you trying to gain? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to become? What's the whole pursuit? If the whole pursuit is time management and controlling when you wake up, maybe you're doing a great job. But why settle on those crumbs? You're chasing crumbs. And we're offering you a gorgeous meal, a gorgeous banquet hall filled with all the delicacies, and you're chasing crumbs. The banquet with all the delicacies is that a Jew in this world, like his great-granddaddy Avraham Avinu, a Jew in this world today, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I must say a Jew has to say until when will my deeds become like Avraham's deeds? It means they could. It means they could in your small way, like in his big way. But in your small way, it could. And you bring the Shefa and all the Bracha into your world. And when the Shefa and Bracha is in your world, it overflows into all of humanity, into all of existence. But it just takes one thing, one small thing, that we all run after, we all want, we all think about, we all dream about, we all crave, until you stop believing you can accomplish it. Start believing again. To be close to Hashem. Kirvas Elokim Litov. That's the best thing in the world. That's the only thing in the world. You learn Gemara for Kirvas Elokim. You know, they showed me somebody, the people write books about why you learn Gemara. Kirvas Elokim. Yeah, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. So maybe we have to talk about it. What does it mean to feel it? Maybe we have to talk about the experience of feeling. Maybe your feeling needs to be developed. It's always true. We need to develop ourselves. Our emotional, our spiritual feelings could be developed. They could be refined. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's what we're here for, to refine ourselves. We learn Gemara for Kirvas Elokim. We daven for Kirvas Elokim. We walk around for Kirvas Elokim. We care about our friends for Kirvas Elokim. We call our mom for Kirvas Elokim. The whole existence is Kirvas Elokim. It's not just in that room behind me. Not just in the base medrash. Your whole existence. So a friend of mine just told me, after we went to Nissim's house, he said after Nissim's inspiring talk, he decided a little bit, once a day, just when he's walking around, when he's sitting around, he's going to talk to the boss. It's not mincha. It's not mariv. He's going to sit and talk to the boss. Communicate. Express himself. Think about him. Vehiye brach. And all the bracha will rain down upon you. Rain down upon you to the point that there will be no room, not enough room within you to hold all that bracha, and it'll over spill out. You'll maga the whole world. You'll make the whole world great again. You'll bring maga into reality. Not only Washington's going to make the world great again. Some guy is going to make the world great again. You know, he has a whole team of brilliant people. Those brilliant people are going to make the world great again. They're going to try. Bless their souls, all the Mishaberos. Hashem should give them a lot of bracha v'atzlacha. But they're not going to make the world great again. You want to know who's going to make the world great again? Baruch atah Hashem. Elokei Avraham. Okay, Yitzchok, okay, Yaakov, Mogen Avraham, Mogen Avraham, the one who protected Avraham, is continued to be brought down into this world by the ones who want his continued protection. And from that bracha, our lives will change, the world will change, humanity will change, we'll mega up everything.